Lecture topic, reflecting on the accolades of Uthman.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة فعلم ما في قلوبهم فأنزل السكينة عليهم وأثابهم فتحا قريبا ومغانم كثيرة يأخذونها وكان الله عزيزا حكيما صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and sisters, as the topic has been advertised, my focus today is one of the greatest sons in the annals of Islamic history. Perhaps, without fear of contradiction, the only human who to his credit enjoys the exclusive privilege of wedding two daughters of a prophet, and more importantly, the greatest of all prophets, and that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my inference and my reference is to none other than the great giant Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. He himself has said that Allah has privileged, endowed and honored me with 10 accolades in which I am exclusive and no human has these sentiments with me. Number one, إِنِّي لَرَابِعُ أَرْبَعَةٍ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. I am the fourth person to embrace the faith of Islam. Again, the credit goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Amongst those who Abu Bakr had invited to the pristine Islam, there is this great stalwart and there is this great legend, Uthman radiallahu anhu. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, in the honor of Abu Bakr, I have perhaps compensated and reciprocated every individual who has been kind to me, and I have offset his favors. But the favors of Abu Bakr are so enormous, I have asked Allah to offset it. The favors of Abu Bakr, مَا نَفَعَنِي مَالُ أَحَدٍ مَا نَفَعَنِي مَالُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. No human's wealth and assets and resources has been a benefit to the cause of Islam as the assets of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Sufficient in the credit of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is that Uthman ibn Affan had reverted to the pristine Islam through the teachings of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So that's the first privilege of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Inni la rabi'u arba'atin fil Islam. Number two, inni jahaztu jaysh al-usra. At a very daunting moment, at a very bleak moment, at a very challenging moment, when the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had exhorted the companions to spend and assist on the occasion of Tabuk, when the heat was scorching, the numbers were against them, the enemies had mobilized their forces, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted the Sahaba to spend. And while every Sahabi diligently responded to this call, surely Sayyidina Uthman excelled all when he responded. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who will equip the army? Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu stood up and he said, مِئَةَ بَعِيرٍ بِأَحْلَاسِهَا وَأَقْتَابِهَا. O Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from my side and my family, consider 100 camel laden with goods as a donation from my side. He then sat down. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acknowledged him, rewarded him, thanked him. The pressing need was such that there was a need for greater contribution. So he again appealed. And this was the spirit of Sahaba. They never felt, I'm over. Now don't look at me, look at him. And perhaps it's your time, brother. Why are you looking at me? It's your time to give. Now that was never the spirit of Sahaba. He stood up for a second time. And he said, مِئَةَ بَعِيرٍ بِأَحْلَاسِهَا وَأَقْتَابِهَا. Take another 100 camels laden from me. And then he sat down. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted them, encouraged them, motivated them for the third time, and he responded promptly on the third instance. And then he came and he dropped these gold coins in the lap of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that moment of his diligent compliance, he tapped into the depth of the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was a spontaneous dua that came out in his favor. And this dua, I read it in Kanzul Ummal. And in my humble years of studying Quran and Sunnah, I haven't found such a dua being showered on an individual at one instance as the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam showered it upon Uthman radiyallahu anhu. And he said, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا عُثْمَانَ مَا قَدَّمْتَ وَمَا أَخَّرْتَ وَمَا أَسْرَرْتَ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتَ وَمَا أَخْفَيْتَ وَمَا أَبْدَيْتَ وَمَا كَانَ مِنْكَ وَمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Uthman, may Allah pardon your past and your future, your individual and your collective sins. May Allah equally pardon you, your spouses, your children, and your progeny till Qiyamah. And I must interject objectively and digress objectively at this juncture and say to you, my brother, the Muslim world in its entirety today is desperate for divine blessings. Ask any person, look at any SMS, go on your social networks, every message from a Muslim is concluded with request for prayers. Include me in your du'as. Remember me in your prayers. That's awesome. That's meritorious. That's brilliant. But I must remind you, it's not the requested prayer that brings magic in your life. It's the prayer, when you earn it, that will change your destiny positively. So requesting prayers, I can request, you can request, that's great. But when you do what you have to do, that is the prayer that brings magic on board. And I'm afraid, I think we've lost the priorities here. I often say, we've become a nation that provokes curses and requests prayers. What a dichotomy, what an irony. So I'm doing the thing to provoke you to curse me. I offend you, I upset you, I withhold a due from you. I do the most silly things against you, it provokes you, you are enraged. And then I'm saying, brother, you know what, I request you to make du'as. That prayer is not going to take you far. I'm reminded, and I have a flash in my mind, of an incident of a young girl from the Ansar tribe. The Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day said to one sahabi, Zawijni ibnatak, wed me to your daughter, wed me to your daughter. So this sahabi said, oh, what an honor, O Nabi of Allah. It's a done deal. I can't ask for better. So the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the proposal is not for myself, it is for one of my companions, Julaybib radiyallahu anhu. So he said, is Julaybib your son? He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, Julaybib is one of my fellow companions. He said, well, then I'll have to consult with my spouse, my daughter's mother, and take her on board and see what her thoughts are, and then I will revert to you. So he goes back to his wife, and he uses the same prophetic approach. And he says to his wife, the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam is proposing for your daughter. She's ecstatic, she's elated, she's overwhelmed, her jubilation knows no bounds. He says, wait, hang on, he's not proposing for himself. He's proposing for someone else. She's like, who's this? So he says, Julaybib. She asks a similar question, is Julaybib the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He answers in the negative. She says, no, then we have reservations. We're not convinced. We don't want to give our daughter. The daughter overhears the chat. The daughter overhears the back and forth communication and correspondence. She said, Man khatabani. I am not looking at who is proposing. I am asking who has sent the proposal. So they said, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has sent the proposal. She said, I am more than happy on wedding the man that he has selected for me. And against the sentiments of her parents, she made them understand that if this is what he wants for me, surely there is good in it. Now, reflect for a moment, and I beg for your undivided attention. When she was amenable, and she acceded to the request of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so moved that he himself made a prayer in her favor. And he said, Allahumma subba alayha subba. ولا تجعل عيشها كدا. Oh my Lord, shower every moment of happiness, bliss and prosperity on this girl. And let her never see pain, agony and misery in her entire life. The Ansar say, there were more beautiful women, there were more affluent women, but there was not a more prosperous woman in our entire tribe than this girl. In English they say, the secret of a happy marriage is not wedding the perfect partner, but rather, the secret of a happy marriage is in loving the imperfect partner perfectly well. The secret of a happy marriage is not wedding the perfect partner, because who's perfect? No one is perfect. But the bliss, the formula, the secret to a happy marriage is in loving the imperfect partner perfectly well. Be it as it may, the point that I'm highlighting here and I endeavor to elucidate and expound is Sayyidina Uthman responded to the call. And that was the prayers. And I say to the youth often, you want to take the blessings of your parents, you want to secure the blessings and the joy of your seniors. It is in compliance to their sentiments that will attract that happiness. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu gave whatever he had, and it attracted the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is another incident, and perhaps it's opportune and relevant due to the crisis in which the Ummah is crossing, passing through, and I guess it continues from time to time. We ask Allah to bring peace and serenity to the planet and to restore prosperity on this earth. There was a particular incident where the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam exhorted the Sahaba to spend as well in his path. And the Sahaba gave whatever they had, they donated, they generously made available of their funds. There was a Sahabi by the name of Ulbah radiallahu anhu, rajulun mashhurun min al-ansar, a very prominent devout companion from amongst the Ansar. He didn't have finance, he didn't have the economic muscle, he didn't have financial clout. So he didn't own a dime, he was a pauper, he had absolutely nothing in his pocket. But look at the zeal in his heart. وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوْا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. The amazing way in which the Quran encapsulates the picture of these Sahaba. There is no blame and reproach. There is no guilt upon those individuals who do not own anything, and they tear over the lack of resources. So he stands up by night, and look at this dialogue that he has with his creator. Look at this chat that he has with his creator. He says, Allahumma innaka amartana wa raghabta fihi. Oh my Lord, you have exhorted us to spend in your path. And I'm on focus here. What I'm saying is, respond to the call of the hour. Respond to the call of the hour, and you will see how the Almighty will favor you, inspire you, and bless you. Oh my Lord, you have encouraged and exhorted us to spend. And then by your divine decree, you haven't given me wealth. So that's your choice, and I don't frown or object on what you've allocated for me. But tomorrow, my fellow companions will make a rich contribution, and they will make a donation, and I have absolutely nothing. So I am going to offer to you something which is not monetary, it's not visible, it's not tangible, it's invisible and intangible. The narration is in Hayat al-Sahaba. What is it? Oh my Lord, وَإِنِّي أَتَصَدَّقُ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ بِكُلِّ مَظْلِمَةٍ أَصَابَنِي فِي مَالٍ أَوْ جَسَدٍ أَوْ عِرْضٍ. Any Muslim, any fellow brother, who has ever hurt me, insulted me, or violated me, or potentially will hurt, insult, or violate me, I am forfeiting my right of retaliation. This is my donation to you. I don't have money, but I have unconditionally forgiven every person who has insulted me and every man who will insult me. By and large, today the world has become vindictive. If anybody tramps my toes, if anybody raises his voice,
I want to institute legal action against him. And this divides us and creates discord amongst us. In English, they say, to tell someone I have forgiven you, but I cannot forget, is just another way of saying I haven't forgiven you. To tell someone I have forgiven you, my brother, but the scar is indelible. I cannot remove this. I cannot delete this. That is just plain with words. You are just manipulating the sentences. In essence, you have not forgiven. Forgive means to move on. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, "Man nala minni aw 'aliqtu bi dhimmatihi abra'tuhu lillahi shakiran minnata." أأرى معوق مؤمن يوم الجزاء أو هل أسوء محمد في أمته. Anybody who has insulted me, my senior, my junior, my peer, my neighbor, my partner, who I have forgiven him. I don't want to be the means of keeping someone's entry into paradise suspended. My lack of pardon mustn't become an impediment for someone's entry into paradise. Or at its least, if my lack of pardon doesn't deny him paradise, surely it will hurt the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, "Oh Allah, I am making this donation." And what is the message I'm trying to extract from this? I'm saying to you, my brother, sometimes there is an appeal, sometimes there is a call. There are so many constraints, there are so many challenges, and you feel there's nothing I can do. No, we should never feel feeble, helpless, and inactive. Here is a sahabi who doesn't have the funds, but he has a communication with Allah. And he says, "I have forgiven every Muslim, and that is my donation." The next morning when the sahaba came, each one came with the rich and the healthy and the handsome contribution. He modestly sat in one side because he had nothing much to offer. The Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam was kept abreast through divine revelation. He said, "Manil mutasaddiqul bariha." The gentleman who gave charity last night, can he please come forward? Again, he never thought the reference was about him. He thought monetary donation. Nobody stood up. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Manil mutasaddiqu bi'irdihi al-bariha." The man who forfeited his self-esteem and who had forgiven everyone, can he please come forward? I have confirmation from Allah that his charity has been accepted first. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَقَدْ كُتِبَتْ فِي الزَّكَاةِ الْمُتَقَبَّلَةِ. Abshir, abshir, congratulations. You are justified to rejoice. Your donation has been accepted. So what was the second accolade of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu? He said that I had equipped the army, and as a result of that, the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam had showered these prayers upon me. Number three, أنكحني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ابنته. He wedded me to his daughter رقية رضي الله عنها. ثم توفيت. And then she passed away. And if you're familiar with history, and it's important, you need to be, my brother, to know our rich legacy. رقية رضي الله عنها, the daughter of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, tragically passed away at the critical moment when the Muslims were on the 17th of Ramadan. They were participating in the campaign of Badr. And Badr is a rich campaign in the annals of Islamic history. Sayyidina Uthman was systematically exempted from participation due to the chronic and ailing condition of his spouse. And look at the contradicting emotions he had to contend with. And that's what I said to someone in a recent talk of mine. I said, when we study the biography of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find two amazing things that summarize his blessed life. The noble companions describe him as mutawasil al-ahzan da'im al-bishr. He was a man with perpetual grief, yet permanent smile. Try and marry the two. Try and reconcile the two. Try and merge the two. It's daunting enough in theory, leave alone exhibit it in reality. Try and put two together, perpetual grief, permanent smile. So that is the nature of life. You will have to console someone who's going through a tragedy. Simultaneously, you'll have to congratulate someone. And sometimes the incident is at home. One child has excelled. You cannot deny his acknowledgement because of his good. At the same time, you need to admonish and discipline another child. And to strike the fine balance was surely the privilege of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the Muslims were returning victorious from the campaign of Badr, Sayyidina Uthman says, I was just dusting my hands from the burial of my wife, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My heart was brimming with grief. But at the same time, the victory of Badr, I had to share in that joy and equally lament the separation of my spouse. After the demise of his partner, he was obviously saddened. The Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam glanced at him and he said, Uthman, you're looking very sad and depressed. What is the matter? He said, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is life. We need to know we have to move on with life. I always say, if our father Adam and our mother Eve were in paradise, Adam couldn't enjoy the bounties of paradise, which is the pinnacle of happiness, which is the apex of privileges. He couldn't enjoy paradise without a partner. How can a person enjoy this mundane world without being united with a partner? So nikah is an integral part of our life. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنْ أَجْلِي إِلَّا ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ وَلِطَوْلٌ عَلَى النِّكَاحِ لَتَزَوَّجْدٌ كَرَاهِيَةَ أَنْ أَلْقَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَزَبًا. If I knew I were to die in 3 days and I was unmarried, even in that 3 day window period, knowing very well that I will die after 3 days, I will hasten to get married simply because I do not want to meet my Allah unmarried. So thereafter, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, O Uthman, I am going to now wed you to my next daughter. And Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha came in his honor. The only human in the annals of history who enjoys the privilege of wedding two daughters of a Nabi and two daughters of the greatest Nabi. Can you imagine the trust and the confidence the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had in him? And when Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha also passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَوْ كُنَّ عَشْرًا لَزَوَّجْتُهُنَّ عُثْمَانَ. By Allah, if I had 10 other daughters, without twitching my gaze, I would have lined them up into the wedlock of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Such was the caliber of Uthman. Furthermore, what was his accolade? Listen to this is amazing. أَنْكَحَنِي إِبْنَتَهُ ثُمَّ تُوَفِّيَتْ فَأَنْكَحَنِي إِبْنَتَهُ الْأُخْرَى وَمَا وَضَعْتُ يَمِينِي عَلَى فَرْجِي مُنْدُ بَايَعْتُ بِهَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The name of Uthman is synonymous to modesty and bashfulness. Now, today we've lost the idea of modesty to such an extent that I'm afraid promiscuity, immorality, infidelity, nudity has become the order of the day. Uthman radiallahu anhu said, when I pledged my allegiance to the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I offered my hand to him and I recited the verse, لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة فعلم ما في قلوبهم فأنزل السكينة عليهم وأثابهم فتحا قريبا. Indeed, Allah was pleased with the believers when they sat beneath the tree and they swore their allegiance. He said, when I put my hand in the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a mark of respect, as a token of respect, that this hand of mine has touched the blessed and the sacred palm of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from that day onwards, I never allowed my right hand to be used in my private area till the day I died. As a mark of respect, مَا وَضَعْتُ يَمِينِي عَلَى فَرْجِي مُنْدُ بَايَعْتُ بِهَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I say to you, my brother, the Muslim world in its entirety, congregate and converge and flock at the precincts of the Kaaba, and rightfully so. We pride ourselves to hold the sacred cloth of the Kaaba. But at the same time, while these hands enjoy the privilege of touching the sacred cloth of the Kaaba, you can do some soul searching and I will do some soul searching. I'm afraid these hands have roamed in many forbidden places. I'm afraid these hands have touched very incorrect locations. I'm afraid these hands have roamed the most forbidden and perpetrated the most unthinkable crimes. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu said that after touching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed hand, I never used my hand by my private area. His modesty was such, he was delivering a khutbah. A person entered into the gathering. En route, when that particular brother was coming to the masjid, unintentionally, inadvertently, perhaps his gaze strayed and it fell on a strange woman. As the particular companion made his presence in the gathering, Sayyidina Umar looked at him and he said, يَدْخُلُ أَحَدُكُمْ وَآثَارُ الزِّنَا بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. Some people have entered this gathering and I'm afraid immorality and fornication is dripping from their eyelids. This person was caught off his balance. He said, أَوَحْيٌ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Oh, Uthman, are you receiving revelation post the demise of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, no, I don't have revelation. Revelation was exclusive to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Walakin firasatun sadiqa. This is the inner eye of the believer. This is the vision of the believer. And it is through the purity of my gaze that Allah has exposed this to me. Can you imagine us? How many today people and spouses would complain? How many a woman would complain? Some have drug addiction. Allah forgive, others have porn addiction. Whose night and day go by looking at filthy, immoral, obscene, totally things that have no space in Islam. Ala innahum yathnuna sudurahum liyastakhfu min. Ala innahum yathnuna sudurahum liyastakhfu min. Ala hina yastaghshuna thiyabahum. The level of modesty in Sahaba was such that in a private room, discreetly, when they needed to remove their garb and change their dress, out of the gaze of Allah, they would crouch down and bow down, covering their private area with their own body. So then the Quran was revealed to say that there's no need to subject yourself to such stringent values that even in isolation and seclusion, they displayed bashfulness for the gaze of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm afraid today the ummah has lost modesty, and the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-haya'u wal-quranau jami'a. Modesty and faith are inseparable components and partners. If modesty has left an individual, tragically the next to leave is iman. So what did Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu say? After putting my hand in the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I never use my hand on my private area. Furthermore, وَمَا تَغَنَّيْتُ وَلَا تَمَنَّيْتُ. In my entire life, when I recall, and I go back to the drawing board, and I go back in my memories, and I open my archives, and I look deep down in my previous life, pre-Islam, I am happy to say with the grace of Allah, I have never indulged in singing and dancing. I've never been part of that culture. Perhaps there is a segment of the Muslim Ummah that can identify and can be grateful to Allah that they also have been protected from this vice, from this sin, from this transgression. But the next accolade of Sayyidina Uthman speaks volumes on the purity of his nature. He said, by Allah, I never perpetrated singing and dancing, and Allah is my witness, I never aspired for it also once. There are many people that would say, with the grace of Allah, I've never committed zina. But how many can say, I never aspired to commit zina? There are many that would say, I have never entered a club. But how many can say, I never aspired to do so? I'm afraid there would be few that you can count them on your fingers. Sayyidina Uthman said, my life has been that clean and I'm grateful to Allah. And this is what the Quran says. I know time is up, but I'll briefly share this verse with you. Look at the amazing, encompassing, all-embracing nature of the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. The Quran said, the pious are those who do not attend evil venues. Fair enough. You don't go to a venue where there's sin, where there's intermingling, where there's forbidden, where there's the unlawful, the illegitimate. But the harsh reality is, you won't able to avoid passing a location of sin. That's the world. You can avoid attending, but you won't able to avoid passing by. You're going to work daily en route, you're sitting in a plane, people are doing things that they should be doing in their private bedroom, people are doing it in public domain. How do they conduct themselves when they are inevitably exposed with evil on their daily travel? The Quran said they will not attend evil, but when they pass by vice, they pass by in a dignified way. May Allah preserve the soul of Ibn Kathir rahimahullah. He unpacks this ayah in his famous tafsir and commentary. He said passing by in a dignified way means they lower their gaze, they hasten their pace, and while doing so, they do not have a condescending attitude to the perpetrator. They abhor and dislike the crime, but they love the criminal himself. So the evil that's happening in this venue is something I dislike. But the man who's doing it, he's my brother and I love him. And that is why one scholar gave a beautiful analogy. He said, a mum when she has her baby, and the baby messes the diaper. In the love for that child, the mother doesn't leave the diaper messed. And in the dislike of the diaper, the mother doesn't shun the child. But the balance between the two is clean that diaper, wash that baby, and embrace that same child. And that is the quality of the pious. They abhor the crime. They dislike the sin, but they love the criminal himself. On the reverse, if I do some introspection, I'm afraid when I pass an evil venue, my social profile in society doesn't allow me to enter that venue. People know me, they recognize me, but my heart aspires for the crime inside there more than those that are there. And if anything, I hate the criminal and I love the crime more than those that perpetrated. May Allah save us. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu said, I never committed this and I never aspired this. وَلَا مَرَّتْ بِي جُمْعَةٌ مُنْدُ أَسْلَمْتُ إِلَّا وَأَنَا أُعْتِقُ فِيهَا رَقَبًا. And since the day I reverted to Islam, while I would daily try and perform good deeds, but there was a conscious effort on every Friday to increase my virtue. Now I'm afraid Friday has just become a norm in the Muslim Ummah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, مَا نَدِمْتُ عَلَى يَوْمٍ نَدْمِي عَلَى يَوْمٍ غَرَبَتْ فِيهِ شَمْسُهُ نَقَصَ فِيهِ أَجْلِي وَلَمْ يَزِدْ فِيهِ عَمَلِي. The day that equates the saddest day in my life is I see the sun rising in the east, setting on the western horizon, conscious that another day has gone by and my good deeds have not increased. For me, that's the saddest day. I'm afraid, my brother, in my life, leave alone my good hasn't increased, a day doesn't lapse without my evil going up, and that also hasn't got the alarm bells ringing in my life. That is why I say Sahaba left a noble legacy. At its least, if we can't leave a noble legacy, be sure to delete your evil legacy before you die. Be sure to delete the evil context and the haram you have. If you cannot leave a legacy of goodness, don't leave a trail of vice. He said, every Friday since I accepted Islam, I would liberate a slave. I would liberate a slave. And this was the spirit of Sahaba. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to liberate poor slaves. His father Abu Qahafa was not a Muslim at that time. So his father said, why don't you look for talented people that when you liberate them, if you cannot get any monetary returns, surely you can get some strength from them and they can assist you in the hour of need. And Abu Bakr said, I want to help people in whom I don't have the faintest idea of any return from them, so that I can collect my reward in totality from Allah. And Allah revealed the verses in Wallayl, that they compensate and they do good to people, not to offset the favors of people, but purely to earn the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every Friday I liberated one slave. And again, I'm making an appeal as I'm running you briefly through these accolades of Sayyidina Uthman. We got to identify. We got to relate. Let me see what I can do on a Friday. Can I show kindness to a fellow neighbor? Can I be good to a friend? Can I do something? Can I give some charity? Surely there's something in my capacity that I can do in addition to my weekly activities. And I'll wrap up with two, three things that he said furthermore. He said, وَلَا زَنَيْتُ فِي جَاهِلِيَّةٍ قَتُّ وَلَا فِي إِسْلَامٍ قَتُّ وَلَا سَرَقْتُ فِي جَاهِلِيَّةٍ قَتُّ وَلَا إِسْلَامٍ قَتُّ وَلَقَدْ جَمَعْتُ الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ عَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, I never committed zina pre-Islam, hence it was impossible for me to entertain the thought of zina post-Islam. And I had never committed the act of theft and stealing and usurping the rights of any person in any way, not pre-Islam, not post-Islam. Honestly, when you look at the clean slate of Uthman, one is compelled to believe that Uthman's pre-Islamic slate was cleaner than our post-Islamic slate. We don't return from Hajj so clean as how clean Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. After all, Allah wouldn't choose an ordinary man to wed the daughters of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma zawajtu shay'an min nisa'i wa la zawajtu shay'an min banati illa bi wahyin ja'ani bihi Jibril 'an Rabbi 'azza wa jall." I didn't wed any of my spouses, nor did I marry any of my daughters until I did not get divine approval from Allah. So if Allah selected Uthman, there had to be some great achievements in the life of Uthman. وَلَقَدْ جَمَعْتُ الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ عَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And I'm amongst those people that enjoy the privilege of having an active hand in the preservation and the compilation of the Qur'an. And you would know when Sayyidina Uthman was assassinated, that tragic, that dark moment when the rebels had surrounded his house, the Qur'an was before him and his blood fell on the verse, صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً. That color yourself in the color of Allah and dye yourself in the dye of Allah. And he was extremely thirsty and he was fasting. And he asked the people around him, you have blockaded my house. You have put a curfew around. I asked you, give me some water. I'm extremely thirsty. And they said, there's no water for you. And he said, but you would recall this well from which you deny me water was the well I bought and made it free for the Muslims. They said, that was past and that's gone. Today you will have no water. And he slept thirsty by night. And that night he had the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came down. وَمَعَهُ دَلْوٌ مِمَّا. And he didn't come with a glass of water or a vessel of water. He came with a bucket of water. Can you imagine? And my brain freezes and my hair stands and I have a choke in my throat and a tear in my eye. What an honor, what a privilege. That bucket of water presented by the Master himself. And he said to Sayyidina Uthman, Ishrab, Uthman, drink. And I drank and my thirst was quenched. And he said, Uthman, I'm in no hurry. I'm to take your time and drink even more. I don't know, was the water sweeter or receiving it from the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sweeter. And he said, I drank, hatta rawait. And then he said to me, oh Uthman, as the sun rises, the rebels will mobilize and they will intensify. Persevere and then you will make iftar with us in Jannah. Myself, Abu Bakr and Umar are waiting for you. And Sayyidina Uthman got up that morning excited. His wife, Na'ilah, who warded the attackers. And in the process, her fingers also got severed off her blessed hand. And she lost her fingers. She said to her, what's it, my husband? Today you're looking very calm and composed. You're looking very balanced and measured. He said, I seen my Nabi in a dream. And this is the glad tidings he gave me. And he divinely quenched my thirst. And surely Sayyidina Uthman is in the gardens of Jannah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I leave you with a thought-provoking quote, and perhaps it encapsulates and it summarizes all these accolades of Sayyidina Uthman. Somebody said in the English language, a long life might not be good enough. A long life might not be good enough, but a good life is surely long enough. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.